coming out and being with us this morning. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. You've done good. You've done good. You look good. Amen. From the book of Titus, the third chapter, beginning with verse number 3. Yes, verse number 3 through verse number 7. Thank you for standing. Again, Paul's writing to Titus, chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for Your Word and for Your Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity, God, to come into the house to worship You this morning. Father, I pray, God, that You would anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, bless this vessel. It's nothing more than an oracle, God, that You might speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to lean upon You, Lord, and not our own understanding. Help us to trust You, God, even in trying times. Father, we do remember the many who are sick and many who are afflicted, God, the many text messages, God, that were sent requesting prayer. Father, You're aware of each and every need this morning, and I pray, God, that Your healing touch would anoint each and every recipient this morning. Be with us right now, God. Just help us to lay aside every weight this morning. Focus on You and Your Spirit, and we'll be so careful to give You praise and honor and glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. I got so much to thank the Lord for. Amen. I want to share with you this morning, if I might. I am very encouraged, even in discouraging times. My heart has been made to be lifted up this week. Not necessarily because things have gone well. It's been an ordinary week. Not because that the economy is in a boom. I really haven't paid that much attention to it lately. Not because everything has worked out in Washington. I know that it is not. Not because there is peace all over the world, because there certainly is not. We've been made to see rockets flying. We've been made to see chaos in the streets. We've been made to hear things that you and I and our generation would never have thought that we would ever hear spoken in the United States. But yet through all of the misery, through all of the pain, through all of the spiritual unrest that is in this world today, I was reminded this week of how blessed that I am. Not because necessarily of the health that I have, and I thank God for my health. I thank God that He is always with me. I thank God that they make bigger shirts, of which I'm going to get one by faith. Didn't seem that tight till I tried to speak. But I've been blessed because I have a Savior. I want the church to understand this morning, we have a Savior. Amen. A Savior that has already been given to us. A Savior that should encourage each and every one of us. I am so thankful this morning. Savior means a redeemer of sin. Can I get an amen? I said we were once ourselves sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness of the Lord came, but after the Savior came on the scene, I'm so glad that Jesus saw something in me. I'm so glad that He brought me up out of a horrible pit of sin and He established my goings. Aren't you thankful that He set you upon a rock? That rock of sturdiness, that rock of salvation. Man, He's a redeemer of sin and saver of souls. Hallelujah. The only saver of souls is our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it a shame that people today are sometimes embarrassed to mention His name. If they're not embarrassed, they're afraid. It's not politically correct to mention the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord. We're encouraged by a certain part of the nation that says it's all right to serve a God. Just pick you out one. Listen, I had nothing to do with picking my God. My God picked me. My God picked me. Of all the people, amen, He loved me enough, amen, to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I am so thankful. I am encouraged this week because I have a Savior. So many times, it takes something good happening in our life to encourage us. Sometimes it may be a pay raise. Sometimes it may be a new home or a new car or maybe just a shopping spree. And all those things are good and wonderful. But I tell you one thing. I found out that they're short-lived. It only gives you a pleasure for just a little while. But if you haven't received salvation through the Redeemer, through the Savior of our souls, then you're not going to have that everlasting peace and that wonderful joy that comes with an association and a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. No, my Savior doesn't live in the White House. Mm-mm. My Savior does not kind of give me things that I can and can't do, amen, in any kind of written statement except the Word of God. Amen. This is the Constitution that I live by. This is the statements, the precepts, and the statutes that I must abide by and live by. But I have hope and I have help through my relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul writing to Titus with instruction. I mean, he's thankful for instruction. And in his instructions, he is telling Titus, some would call him Saint Titus. It was one that was there, a person that was basically helpful in the church there that was started. And Paul's writing to him, and basically his writing was a need to be saved. Now, if you're saved this morning and born again, you have a Savior. I want to remind you again, you have a Savior. A Savior of promise. A Savior of help. A Savior of strength. A Savior of peace. A Savior who gives healing. Glory to God. I'm thankful for His healing. But even more than that, I'm thankful for the seal He has placed in my life. His promise that I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Not even in bad times. Not even in trouble. Not even in strife. I'll be there with you through every situation that you might be facing. But He's encouraging Titus to please let the people know that they need salvation. Man, every sermon that is preached today ought to allude and ought to pertain to salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that a lot of congregations are not necessarily in tune to that. They're more in tune to the blessings that God bestows upon us, and they're many. They're wonderful. And we thank God for them. But can I tell you this morning, the greatest blessing that God has ever given us, amen, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and He will be the Savior of our world, amen. The saving grace of God through the form of Jesus Christ, who came as a sacrificial lamb to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary, that I could have a personal Savior, that you could have a personal Savior, one that lives within you, that leads us and guides us. Titus, tell the folks they need to be saved. Preachers, tell the folks they need to be saved. Pastors, please preach the plan of salvation to your congregation, to your church. I know they've heard it before, but let's remember, how many times had we personally heard the plan of salvation before we received it? I confess I didn't go to the altar the first time that I heard a repentive sermon. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His long suffering. Because even when I was a part of the world, it was sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to make it right one of these days. I'm going to get my life in order and I'm going to get salvation. But right now, there's just a lot of things that I still want to experience. Oh, Lord, come on, preachers, tell them the time is running out. No man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. But He says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Church, if you're looking down, you're looking the wrong way. If you got your head hung down, you're looking in the wrong direction. My salvation comes from above. Look up, for God is going to be a Savior to all of His people. Let's be known with a promise, amen, that whatever I face, God will be there for me. If you're not saved, you need to be. It's not one of those round two-its that you need to get. You do it now. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know how a Bible reader can look to the Middle East and not be born again. I don't see how any Christian can look to the Middle East and not have a warming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see how a lukewarm Christian today can sit on the pew and not be thankful that the Lord has saved them when they begin to see the things transpiring in the world today. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, not to the next generation, but to this generation. But that's all right. That's okay. I got a Savior. I said, I got a Savior who will lead me, who will be with me. I'm going home with Jesus. How about you? Glory to God. When common sense tells me that I should be alarmed, when the news media tries to strike fear within my very soul, when people today are being told what to do like sheep. Fear is rampant. Fear is prevalent. But I got a Savior. I got a Savior. Says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Glory to God. What a thought that is. With all that's going on in the world, I can sit down and enjoy and feast on the blessings of God. Why? Because I have a Savior. There's nothing special about me, but there's something very special about my Savior. Glory to God. Not only is He a Savior, but He is a comforter. Glory to God. Titus, tell the children, tell the people that they need to be saved. There is a plan implemented. We don't see too many plans in action today. We see a lot of suggestions. We hear a lot of suggestions. We hear a lot of promises. Oh, if I was in office, I'd do this and I'd do that. But these plans sometimes never really get implemented. You know, when I was in school, I planned to be independently wealthy. Amen. And just sit back. You know, it's a good plan. Still working on that. My daddy had a great saying. He said, son, I am working on my second million. I said, daddy, really? He said, yeah, I gave up on my first one. Kind of like daddy. Kind of give up on that first one. But plans don't just implement themselves. First of the year rolls around, I plan to do better. I plan to do this. I plan to not do that anymore. I plan in about 2 weeks, you adhere to it, and then after that, but the Apostle Paul reminded Titus, not only is there a need for salvation, I just want to take a poll. Because I don't get to be involved in polls. They don't call me. They don't text me. I'd love for them to. I'd be glad to give them my... But they don't want to know what I want to tell them. Because it doesn't fit their scenario. It doesn't fit their narrative. But I'd like to take a poll this morning, if I possibly could. Amen. How many love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your body? Would you just raise your hand and give Him away? You have committed that I will love the Lord with everything that I have, every ounce of breath I have, every part of strength that I have. I won't worry. I won't fret. God has never found me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind because I have a Savior. Glory to God. That's the reason I can rejoice and praise the Lord, even in trying times. A plan must be implemented. Paul reminded Titus of the mercy and grace and the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. We become born again. Amen. Thankful for my natural birth. Thankful for my parents' raising. This week, as we were attending some graduates' celebration, and there were little photos of the past 12 years and how they've grown. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful to see the growth that just in that short span of time. I remember sitting in first grade thinking, I'll never get to the 12th grade. I look back now and it was so long ago. But understand that all of that joy and all of those times. And you look at a photo, and it brings back memories. You almost just instantly relive that time in history when you see that photograph. Amen. And you know another thing? We do it on phones now. And you know, I hope you got an ability to pull all them phones in a big storage box and pull them out when you get my age. Because so many times my photos get deleted or whatever, I can't find them, but I can go to that box and get those little photos and all, and they bring back such precious memories, and I can relive those times, and they're wonderful and they're great. And life is good and life is great, even through troubles and trials and situations. But our natural birth can in no way compare to the spiritual birth. Can't. Amen. I've got a history. I've got a little book that tells me where I was born. In Cedartown, Georgia, in Polk County. There's a story behind that. Even though there wasn't a hospital in Rockmart, my mother was staying with my granddaddy and grandmother because daddy was going to Korea to fight. 13 days after I were born, he shipped out to Korea. So while we were staying there, it came my time to be born, so we was carried to the Cedartown Hospital in Polk County where I was born. And all those little pictures and things like that, I've got them in a book, and they're wonderful and they're precious. But no way can they compare to what happened to me at an old-fashioned altar at a little church in Rockmart, Georgia. Amen. People tell you where you were born. Well, physically, I was born in Cedartown, but spiritually, I got born in Rockmart. I got reborn at a church. I got reborn at an altar. Amen. I was not only acquainted with the Savior, He became my personal Savior that night when I gave up my lifestyle, amen, of foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving divers, lust, and pleasures, and living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. I laid it on the altar, and you know what? He forgave me of every one of those things, and He became my personal Savior that I still rely on today. There is a plan. You need to implement that plan. Unfortunately, today many people are familiar with the plan, but they have not put that plan into motion. Whatever the reason, they're waiting to a later date. Please, please hear this. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. It's the single most important thing you can do in your life is give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. Look what the promise. To become heirs and receive eternal life. Glory to God. You know, eternity has always been that thing that eludes my ability to comprehend.
is beyond my little finite mind to wrap around what eternity is. Because everything that we do down here basically has a timeline on it. There's a time to go to school. There's a time to do this, a time to do that, a time to retire. All that thing is governed by time. But we're going to a place where time has no effect whatsoever. Forever and ever and ever, we will be there with our Lord and Savior. Amen. The one who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. The one who gave us this born-again experience. We will be heirs, amen, and receive eternal life. Then he talks about the kindness and love of the Savior. Who would not want a relationship with a Savior whose kindness and love is beyond our ability to even fathom? He loved us when we were unlovable. And He saved us from our very own sins that we did. I'm kind of tired of the generation blaming everything on everybody else. Amen. You know, really, we can only point to one person. We're responsible. I know peer pressure is rough, and I know political correctness is rampant in the world today. But we need to quit pointing our fingers at others and say, this is the one that makes the decisions. This is the one that must choose what's right and what's wrong. And this is the one that must choose to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And have that working relationship with a personal Savior. The Lord has always provided a refuge of safety for His people. Even before the birth of Jesus Christ, God was the Savior of many of the old patriarchs of the Old Testament. He saved them from the flood. Saved them through the fire. How many knows that God still does that? Hallelujah. Through the lion's den. In the face of overwhelming odds, when the enemy outnumbered the children of Israel probably 10-1, God stepped in and made a way. He's still making a way today. I had to apologize this week. I had to humble myself down. I said, Lord, I can view the things that are happening, but it should not strike fear in my soul. At some point, Job had to say, Lord, though You slay me, yet will I trust You. Yet will I serve You. Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At some point, at some time, we need to realize that our salvation is not in man. Our salvation is not in this nation. Our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer of sin, the Savior. Or the Savior of our souls. I've been reminded this week that I have a Savior. Many, many times. You know, Satan has a way of piling on. I don't know, this is kind of a morbid analysis, but it's true. I don't know if you've ever watched animals, but sometimes, especially with dogs and things, if one dog is down and hurt, it seems like all the dogs around it pile on. And that's the way Satan is. If he sees one little thing going wrong in your life, he's on you, I mean all over you, saying, where is your God? Where is your Savior? If He really loved you, He wouldn't let you go through this. He wouldn't let you suffer. He wouldn't let these things pile up on you. And if we're not careful, when those many, many burdens begin to pile up on us, we'll be bended beneath a heavy load of burdens. We'll begin to feel a little sorry for ourselves. We'll begin to wonder, Lord, why are You letting me walk through this? Why are You allowing this to happen? But I was reminded this week that God has never left me. Never left me. He's been through time and time again to lift me up when the doctor's news wasn't that good. The song says, there was Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd have been a basket case had it not been for my Savior who consoled me, who lifted me up, who held me up. Amen. When my knees became very weak. Amen. As the doctor began to tell us about the situation with Kevin, he probably won't live. But if he does, you probably won't make it to school age. That would have been very, very hard news to take. And it was hard news to take for the flesh. But God reminded me this week, I have a Savior. I said, I have a Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please do not misinterpret this for a pity party. It's not. I just want to tell you, we have to depend on our Savior. When I looked into Mother's eyes this week and she didn't know who I was and her eyes were not really focused, and I looked and all those photos that I have, many of them was with my mother, and she was always here in the church and always worshiping and praising the Lord. I remember her one night down at the little church, she was playing the piano and she used to have these basically fainting spells is what it was. I don't know exactly what it was, but she'd had them on and off since she was a little girl. She was playing the piano, worshiping, praising the Lord, and all of once her head started reeling like that and she fell off the back of the piano stool. And I had a guitar and I was sitting real close. Now that church wasn't as big as this one. That church was really, really small. So I was able to drop my guitar and catch her before she hit the ground. And of course, prayer was made and God delivered her. And all of those things were rolling in my mind as I looked into Mother's eyes, and she didn't know who I was. And she really didn't know who she was or where she was. And Satan says, there's what you got to look forward to. Where's her God now? But you know what? Even in that, I felt the strong, comforting hand of God. I didn't need somebody to say, Brother Eddie, bless your heart. I didn't need somebody to say, poor Miss Kate. I needed my Savior. Because my Savior lifted me up. My Savior encouraged me. Wait till you see. Wait till you see what's in store for the person who has dedicated their life to me. Wait till you see what I'm going to give you. Wait till you see the new body that you're going to have. Wait till you walk the streets of gold. Wait till you get to that glorious place that I have prepared for you. Glory to God. No more sickness. No more disease. No more death. And no more sorrow. Because I'm reminded, this is very, very important. Can't tell you if my mother has the capacity now to know that she has a Savior. But I can tell you this. My Savior knows my mother. I said, He knows her. Oh, she'd been blood bought. She'd been redeemed. Glory to God. She has a personal Savior in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I want you to understand what that says. We have seen and do on testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of First Pentecostal. Alone? No. Certain people? He said the world. That tells me that even people who now deny that there is the very existence of the Messiah, the very existence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be a personal Savior, the Lord would still love them and redeem them and be a Savior of their soul and a Redeemer of their sin. If they would humble their heart, confess from the heart, repentive spirit, broken and contrite before the altar of God, and ask Him to be Lord and Savior. He would still do that. Whosoever, that's me, I didn't have to have a certain status in Christ, in the world. I didn't have, amen, to be this person or that person. I was a whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. God dwelleth in him, and he in God. How wonderful that is. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Say that with me this morning. God is love. Make a mental note of that. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. They're one and the same. God is love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, you don't want to sneak up to the judgment seat of God. You want to boldly proclaim, I have, amen, a mediator. I have a propitiation. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not in my works, not in my ability, but through his precious blood. Boldly. In the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Listen to this. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in God. There is no fear when we have that personal Savior. Amen. The flesh may fear, but the Spirit is bold. The Spirit knows and understands that God will see us through every situation. Because fear hath torment. We know that. Fear is one of the most tormenting things that there is. It'll keep you up at night. It'll make you worry on your job. It'll make you worry about this. It'll make you worry about that. Fear is in this world today. And that's what Satan seems to be using as his greatest weapon right now. If we can keep everybody afraid, they'll do what we tell them to do. There is no fear in love. And God is love. Amen. There's no fear in God. But perfect love, complete love, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We need to understand that we can be aware of situations. We can be concerned about situations. But if we have that Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us, we should not fear. We should not live in anxiety. We should not live in constant dread. Amen. But know that this is not the end of the story. This was it. Man, we would be miserable. Amen. But thank God there's a brighter day coming. Thank God there's another place that Jesus Christ himself is going to prepare, that where he is, that we may be also. I was encouraged. Very much so this week, just by that simple phrase that I have a Savior. I said, I have a Savior. I don't walk alone. I don't face problems alone. Amen. I'm not alone when I go to bed at night. There is a constant abode through the infilling of His Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask our music to come if they would. Church, I love you. I love you from the depths of my heart, each and every one of you. You all hold a special place in my heart. My hope and my desires, I see every one of you in heaven. I want to see every one that I come in contact with, born again, amen, and the recipient of that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you have not made Jesus your Savior, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Amen. Hallelujah. Once I was walking in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a
Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior. His life's blood for even me. Oh, this could be my testimony. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope. Oh, they searched through heaven and they found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. If you sing it with us.
Oh, what a Savior.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know that Savior that we preached about, if you don't know that Savior that the author wrote this song about, don't put him off. He died for you. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. If you're lost today, come on. Don't be ashamed of what people will think or what they'll say. True, the saints of God will love you. But if you're not certain of where you're going to spend eternity, why don't you come down to this altar today? Why don't you give your life to Jesus? Amen. You'll never find a greater Savior than Jesus Christ. Sing that chorus. Oh, what a Savior. Church, God bless you. We love you this morning. Appreciate you so very much. If you have a need this morning, come.
Yeah.
I remember how you told me that life may not be easy, and everything that I need you've already given me. I remember how you told me I can trust you completely, so why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me? You've walked me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I remember them. I'm changed by your mercy, covered by your peace. I'm living out the victory. Doesn't mean I won't feel the heat. You've walked me through fire, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I can face anything, 'cause you're here. Remember how you showed me the price of my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you'd die for me? You brought me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I can face anything, 'cause you're here with me. I can do all things, 'cause you strengthen. Remember how you showed me the price of my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you died for me? You've walked me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, when the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through. these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. She strengthened me. I remember how you showed me the price of my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you'd die for me? You walked me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me.
Thank you.
I said, ain't God good? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I have a Savior. Amen. Can everyone in the house say that with that faith in your heart? I have a Savior. Amen. If there's anyone that has any doubts or fears, don't leave this morning without knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as Brother Eddie said, isn't God good? He's great, isn't he? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All hearts, mind clear this morning. Praise God. You know, God's at work. Never ceases, never stops. We just thank Him for just letting us be part of His service this morning to fill His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost this morning. All right. Well, with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission because each and every one of you are invited back for service tonight at 6 p.m. Love to have you back. There's a lot of announcements going on. If you're interested in helping the Vacation Bible School, please let us know. And I'll have the dates and all that stuff up here when I get ready next time. But there's so many things going on. But God is so great. Alrighty, with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission. We'd love, like I said, you're all invited back this evening. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be part of this service this morning. Dear Lord, for you to minister to each and every one of us, dear Lord, for your word to come forth. And to Lord, let us proclaim that I have a Savior, and that is Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, by no other name but the name Jesus. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, take an intermission before service tonight, Lord, I ask that you'll keep us safe. Lord, you'll bring us back at our appointed time. For all those watching on the live feed this morning or watching at a later date, Lord, may this business message goes forth, dear Lord. If they do not know you, or dear Lord, they feel like they've drifted away, dear Lord, let this be the message and the opportunity to bring them back to you. Lord, we pray for each and every one. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.